By the way, one of my names is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath Sermon Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 30th, 2024, or it's the 26th day of Elul, 2028. We will start our service today with the sermon by the Vicki Harlow, taken from Lebanon Symbolic Code. I believe it's number 12. We're going to redo what we did on our last study yesterday. Order of Isaiah's chapters, the chronological order and explanation of some of the Isaiah's chapters, and namely chapter 7 through about 15. It says, for the sermon selection for this issue of the symbolic code was delivered by the Vicki Harlow, March 14th and June the 10th, 1942. For the present, the message we have to bear is not as verses that men need cringe to declare, but they are not to seek to cover it, to conceal its origin and purpose. Its advocates must be men who will not hold their peace day nor night, as those who have made the solemn vows unto Yahweh, and who have been commissioned as the messengers of the Yahshua, as stewards of the mysteries of the grace of the Yahweh, for we are under obligation for the declaring faithfully of the whole counsel of the Yahweh, the Father. For we are not for the making of the less permanent or prominent the special truths that have separated us from the world and made us what we are, for they are fraught with this eternal interest. For the Yahweh has given us light and regard unto the things that are now taking place, and the last remnant of time. And with the pen and voice, we are for the proclaiming of the truth unto the world, not in a tame, a spiritless way, but in demonstration of the spirit and power of the Yahweh, for the mightiest conflicts are involved in the furtherance of the message and the results of its promulgation are of the moment to both heaven and earth. For the controversy between the two great powers of the good and evil is soon to be ended. But unto the time of its close, there will be a continual and sharp contest. We should now propose, as did the Daniel and his fellows in the Babylon, that we will be true unto the principle, come what may. For the flaming fiery furnace heated 7 times hotter than it would want to be healed or heated, did not cause these faithful servants of the Yahweh to turn aside from their allegiance unto the truth, for they stood firm in the time of the trial and were cast into the furnace, and they were not forsaken of the Yahweh, for the term of the fourth was seen walking for the form of the fourth person, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, was seen walking with them and the flames, and they came forth not having even the smell of the fire upon their garments. Today, the world is full of the flattery and disseminate, but Yahweh forbid that those who claim to be the guardian of the sacred trust shall betray the interest of the Yahweh's cause through the insinuating suggestions and devices of the enemy of all righteousness. There is no time now to arrange ourselves on the side of the transgressors of the Yahweh's law, to see with their eyes, to hear with their ears, and to understand with their perverted senses. We must press together. We must labor to become a unit, to be holy and alive and pure in the character. Let those who profess to be the servant of the living Yahweh no longer bow down unto the idol of men's opinion, no longer be the slaves unto any shameful trust, a lust, no longer bring a polluted offering to the Yahshua as a sin-stained soul. Testimonies to Ministers, page 470 and 471. Our study today, that's in the prayer, is taken from the several chapters in Isaiah, particularly chapters 12, 13, and 14. Some of these chapters contain prophecies which are illustrated by the certain experiences of the ancient peoples and nations which at some time were to be repeated. For we shall now commence our study with only a brief review of what we have already found in chapters 7 and 8. Because our time is limited and you are all more or less familiar with it. First, it's mentioned the history of the ancient Israel unsuccessfully confederating with Assyria against Judah, for they could not prevail against her. Instead, both were taken by the Assyria. Then follows the prophecy of the birth of Emmanuel. Since, however, Yahshua was born long after the kings of Israel and Syria were taken, it is obvious from the verse 16 of chapter 7 of Isaiah that a circumstance was to occur at some time that would be the antitype of the Confederacy, which took place on anciently between Israel and Assyria against Judah, and that and this antitypical. There we are, antitypical period, both kings represented by the Syria and Israel would be taken by a power represented by Syria before Emmanuel would know the difference between good and evil. Since, as has already been pointed out, that Syria, parentheses, Emmanuel, did not live in a time of such a confederacy, for it must be that only Israel, Syria, and Assyria are types, but Yahshua himself is also a type. We learn that the Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh, the Father with us, in the form of his son Yahshua, could represent only his true followers, born again. It says Christians here, I like to say, the born again believers in the apostolic faith of the apostles at the cross. Faith in the blood of Yahshua after he died on the cross for the New Testament believers down to the end of time. Through these scriptures and historical facts, we learn that the any time of Israel and Syria's confederacy took place commencing in the first century A.D. and one part of the Christian Israel federated with the pagan Syria against the other Christians, Judah, but their combined church-state power was broken by the Protestant nation, Assyria, after the Emmanuel, born-again believers of the apostolic apostles at the cross came, but before they had advanced in the truth far enough to know how to choose between the good and the evil, and before the younger apostolic believers represented by the second son, Mahershalalah of chapter 8 of Isaiah, had progressed enough even to know their father, Yahweh, and their mother, the apostolic church. After the Isaiah mentions the ancient historical confederacy, and then the sign of the Emmanuel, which we have just reviewed and applied, and through the experience of the early apostolic church history, Isaiah 8:9 warns against another association of people, saying that this confederacy will likewise surely fail and fall to pieces. And for us, this is the main lesson in these chapters. We are instructed as to what to expect and what to do about it. For the period we are now in is in the antitypical Assyria. Now this is where Richie Hollick was as the second feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventists of Mount Carmel at Waco, Texas, 1934 and on. V.T. Hollis says here in 1941 that we are now, and he's speaking for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's saying to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we are now in the antitypical Assyria period. For the Assyrian period is about to pass away and the period of Babylon to be ushered in. Roberta Johnson had the third feeding pasture after the second feeding pasture of Mount Carmel at Waco. Roberta Johnson had the third, called Mount Gilead at Kermit, Texas, was its headquarters out of West Texas, out in the desert. And this period lasted 33 and a half years up to 2003, from 1970. And that, whenever his period came to an end, that also brought an end of the Assyrian period for Assyria. So Adventists and the fourth movement for Israel, since coming out of Egypt, the Adventists had the fourth movement for antitypical Israel from 1844 until 2003. The Adventists had that movement. So around 160 years, the Adventist fourth movement was in the antitypical Assyrian period, not in the Babylon period. Because as soon as 2003 was over, Yahweh started the fifth movement with Judah, the house of David, the lawgiver, called at the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6, called at the 11th hour, because the Adventists and their fourth movement in 1844 was called at the ninth hour, the end of the ninth hour, to work in the 10th and the 11th. So we, this group of laborers, are the house of David, called to labor in the last parabolic hour, here in the 12th parabolic hour, and the judgment of the living. Okay. And so we have entered into the Babylonian period. The Assyrian period has passed away. The Brother Stephen Johnson, 2003. In the outline of the chapters, we find this order. For the seventh chapter brings the birth of the apostolic believers and the liberation against them. For the eighth chapter brings in the Latter-day Confederacy of the peoples and nations, and the outcome of the ninth and the tenth chapters contain a continuation of the antitypical period of the Assyria and their fall. For the so Brother Johnson, with the fourth end of the fourth movement, third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventists from 1970 to 2003, then he brought the period of Assyria and her fall. Okay, for the Seventh-day Adventists. The 11th chapter brings the setting up of the everlasting kingdom of the David, prophesied in Daniel 2:44 and 45. And the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom by his son, Yahshua, here on this earth, in the 12th parabolic hour, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed or left to other people, for it shall stand and shall do all the other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So it says, the 11th chapter brings the setting up of the everlasting kingdom of the Yahshua. As the 12th chapter expresses the praise of those in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, which is who we are, the judgment of the living, house of David, the father of Judah, the lawgiver, with Yahshua, having made his appearance by the sitting upon the throne of David in his kingdom, and the kingdom, the 13th chapter brings the burden of Babylon. Now Babylon's burden overthrew these 12-hour laborers of the house of David. Now, recently, you recall, we studied the 10th chapter of Isaiah and found that this chapter brings us to the time when the period of the antipical Assyria is to come to an end. And so that 7-day shirt represents this antipical Assyria that came to her end in 2003, as Brother Johnson apostatizing and closing out the final work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Judaism and Carnation, 2003. We might naturally expect Babylon to follow next. And I will say this, Babylon does follow next after antipical Jacob goes and spends 20 years in Mesopotamia, actually in Assyria, in the land of Assyria, antipical Assyria, where his house of Laban, his uncle, is, and he has Jacob has spent 20 years there. And so when Jacob wrestled with the angel all night on his way back home after 20 years in Laban's house, then he overcame. He got the angel, which was Yahshua he was wrestling with, to give him a blessing by taking away all of his guilt for stealing his brother's birthright, and giving him a clear conscience, and giving him a name change, showing that he was an overcomer. His name change was to Israel. It became Israel. We might naturally now expect Babylon to follow next, because that period comes after the fall of Assyria. But that is not correct, for Yahshua's kingdom must also come in its proper time. And Yahshua's kingdom then followed Brother Johnson's kingdom. In 2003, Yahshua set up the everlasting kingdom of the house of David that we are in charge of today. That is the child of his people when they have become mature, born again, antipical apostolic believers. The burden of the Babylon, therefore, is not mentioned until the 13th chapter of Isaiah. Now we may ask ourselves why the symbolization of the government of the Yahweh's kingdom as given in Isaiah 11 is in the form of the rod and the branch and the root. Other figures might have been used that would be just as fitting, but the Yahweh chose these. Why? It must be noticed that the 11th chapter of Isaiah starts with the word "and," a conjunction, showing that it's a connection, a connection word with the past thought, showing that it is a continuation of the 10th chapter. Now let us read Isaiah 10, 33 and 34. Behold the Yahshua, that is the Yahshua, son of Yahweh of the host, shall lop the bough with terror. and the high ones of the stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humble, and he shall cut down the thickest of the forest with the iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. For the people are illustrated as trees, for the Yahshua is first to take out the people, clean the land, and then a branch shall stand. In other words, one set is to be taken out completely, and a new set is to stand in its place. The land of our fathers, Palestine, then will be clean from all wicked and wickedness, and Yahshua's people will be there with the Yahshua's principles and influence ruling over them. You see then that these chapters are arranged in their correct order and put in other terms. It can be said that when this association of the Isaiah of 8 is urged, the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13 is about to pass off, and the other period represented by the scarlet-colored beast of the Revelation 17 is about to come on the stage of the action with the fall of the Assyria. Well, actually the fall of Assyria then would be when it's 144,000, the first fruits harvest of the Adventist church is accomplished, then that will be also a sign that Assyria has fallen. With the fall of Assyria, the land of promise is also prepared for the Yahweh's people to come and there set up a place for those who are to be called out of Babylon to come where there are neither sin nor sinners. Those are the Yahweh's plan. For the rest of the chapter 11 describes the condition of the Yahweh's kingdom and the way his people are brought there. And continuing on with the praise of the righteous and the kingdom, chapter 12 commences with the word, and let us read through this chapter and make a few comments as we proceed in Isaiah 12 verse 1. And in that day there shall say, O Yahshua, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. In the church of the antipical David purified out of the Seventh-day Adventist church, thus it will be called Yahshua's kingdom. For Yahshua has also come and has sat upon the throne of David in this kingdom, making it his kingdom, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8, described in the preceding chapter. For Yahweh's people will praise him, though he had been angry with them. When was he angry with them? When he had been used the Gentile nation to disperse them because of their rebellious and idolatrous ways, their idolatry, I sure cannot tolerate idolatry practice when they are brought back into the Canaan and are comforted, then they will understand all of the Yahweh's dealings and will praise Him for it as it were truth. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Yahshua, let's do it again. Behold, the Yahshua is my salvation, the Son of Yahweh. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. This is a testimony Yahweh's people will bear in the kingdom, as it grows through. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now the Yahshua speaks. When the Yahshua's people are saved, are safely and peacefully situated in the land of the promise, when they bear their testimony of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua and trust in the Yahweh the Father, then the Yahweh says that they with joy shall draw water, that is present truth, out of the wells of the salvation on a daily basis. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Yahshua, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that the name is exalted. For the 144,000 will do this very thing when they go unto all the nations. Isaiah 12:3. Sing unto Yahshua, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. All the earth is to know of the Yahshua's excellent things. Isaiah 12:6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. For the 144,000 standing on the Mount Zion with the Lamb will cry out and shout for the joy. How plain it is that the Yahweh is about to do a great thing in the earth that all will know about before this message came. We were unable to place all of these events, but now, but how clear they are now. For we already learned that with the fall of Assyria, that will be when the 144,000 comes forth, because the advent is definitely in the heart of Assyria. Yahweh sets up his kingdom. This is your key right here. Yahweh of heaven sets up his kingdom with fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 2:44-45, that in the days of these kings shall Yahweh of the heaven send his son Yahshua for sitting upon the throne of his earthly father David, of the house of David, and upon the earth the throne, and then Balbin comes on the stage of the action. That's Revelation 17. Therefore the burden of the Balbin is mentioned in the next chapter, which we shall now study, Isaiah 13:1-2. For the burden of Balaam, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And the presenting the burden of the Babylon, Yahweh first commissions his own people to lift up a banner, meaning that they are to make known that they what they have. They are to exalt the voice or message by the letting it do for them what it ought to do. For Yahweh's people, the 144,000, are to do this for those in Babylon who will constitute the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, that they may go into the gates of the nobles, for the Bible declares that it is at Mount Zion, where the nobles will be gates, and nobles will indicate territory and rulers, showing that Yahweh's kingdom at that time is in the existence, and it is this kingdom that the sincere will go when they have Babylon, the world, and the time of the image of the beast. Now that you get that, so the image of the beast comes on the scene at the time that Babylon comes on the scene. And Babylon and the image of the beast go together, and they show up at the time at 144,000. First fruits harvest of the Advent comes forth as an established nation of the purified Israel. They will represent that purified Israel now has come into existence of the last day. They will be the kings and priests that were set upon the 144,000 thrones here in this earth, and they will be the ones that go and gather their brethren of the Gentile nations from the four corners of the earth. And it says in Isaiah 66, they bring them to Yahweh's holy mountain, which is the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, which is the mountain means kingdom. So they'll bring it to Yahweh's holy kingdom. And that will be the everlasting kingdom of David and typical David. Okay, it says Isaiah 13:3. I have commanded my sanctified one. I have also called my mighty one for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Two groups are here mentioned. Number one, the sanctified one, his sanctified ministry. And number two, his mighty ones, the unfallen angels. In other words, he is here telling us that he is recruiting this purified church with 144,000 leaders, and his angels for his anger. Isaiah 13:4. For the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together, for the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, musters the host of the battle. Joel, speaking of this event, says that the heathen shall be brought to the valley of the Jehoshaphat, where the Yahshua is afterwards to judge them. When this happens, it is a great day of the Yahshua. Isaiah 13:5. They come from a far country, from the end of the heaven, even the Yahshua and the weapon of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. The Yahshua also comes. So here's your second coming of Yahshua. He's already come. We have seen in these first five verses of this chapter the description of the Yahweh's army, which is to destroy the whole land. Isaiah 13:6. How are ye? For the day of Yahshua is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. There you have it. The Almighty is the Father Yahweh. For the day of the Yahshua is at hand. And Yahshua is telling you and me the how, even now, because of it. People can know only what they are told. Therefore, the command comes to howl, for the certain destruction is coming. It is at hand. Isaiah 13:7-8. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take a hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames, for a great and sudden surprise is coming unto the nation. And all who are unbelievers in the present truth that has been taught from the kingdom of David, antiquity kingdom of David, with antiquity Elijah David as head of it, shall faint. All the believers in that kingdom and the message that it has, they're going to faint. For the great day of the Yahweh shall suddenly bring trouble and destruction that they are not expecting. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Yahshua cometh, cruel both with the wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the day of Yahshua is at hand, to lay the land desolate and to destroy sinners out of it. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of the heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, for the sun shall be darkened and his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This verse gives the signs that are to precede the final great day of the Yahshua. Isaiah 13:11-12. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. At this time, Yahweh's people will be without guile and perfect in the sight, and therefore more precious than fine gold. Isaiah 13:13-14. Therefore I will shake the heaven, and the earth shall be moved out of her place, in the wrath of Yahshua of the host, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee everyone into his own land. Now, what I just read here, people don't even know it's in the Bible. I'm going to read that again, Isaiah 13:13-14. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. This is Yahshua. He has the power to do this. And the wrath of the Yahshua of the host. Here it is. And in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee everyone into his own land. So wherever they may be in the earth, when Yahshua comes and shakes over the earth, all the people that are out of their own land and somebody else's land, they're going to look back to their own people, and they're going to take off and run as fast as they can to get back to their own land where they came out of to begin with. Every man turning to his own people and fleeing into his own land does not mean that they will migrate to their native land. It shows a separation in which every man must choose whether he will go to the land of the righteous and be with the righteous people, or whether he will choose to dwell in Babylon, where according unto Zephaniah, all wickedness is to be carried. Isaiah 13:15. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. It will be indeed. It will indeed be a terrible, a cruel day for those in Babylon. Isaiah 13:16. For their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. This is the work of the wicked men, and happened when finally the 10 horns of Revelation 17:16 shall destroy Babylon the Great. Isaiah 13:17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. What happened unto the ancient Babylon is a type of what is to happen to modern Babylon. The horns are a heathen nation. Will destroy her, their gold and silver will be of no consequence unto them. Isaiah 13:18-19. Their bows they also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children, and Babylon, the glory of the kingdom, the beauty of the Chaldees, Action three shall be as when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Babylon will never rise again. Isaiah 13:1. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt, and from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch a tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. If Babylon, the woman on the beast of Revelation 17, is to extend over much of the earth, and at her fall is to be left with no inhabitant, it would suggest the period of the millennium. It is true that when the millennium begins, the whole world goes down. But that is not in the period of Babylon, for the millennium comes after the falling of the plagues, the wrath of Yahweh. The verse we are now studying is talking about Babylon. The ancient capital city of Babylon fell in the type. There is your type again. And it is not in existence today. Therefore, in the antitype, there you have it, antitype, whatever modern Babylon is, her capital city has likewise to come down. Isaiah 13:21-22. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of the doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is nearly come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Elsewhere in the message, it teaches that Babylon will rule but 1 hour. And this verse says that her time will not be prolonged. We have come unto the end of the 13th chapter. And the next verse starts with the word for, indicating that it is a continuation of the 13th chapter. Isaiah 14:1. For the Yahshua will have mercy on Jacob. And we're the antithetical Jacobites today. We succeeded the Esauites, as the term of Texas 2003 for Brother Johnson, as the antithetical Esau, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. That's going to be to set the 12 sons of Jacob, and their descendants, 144,000, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave unto the house of Jacob. For Yahweh is doing this all because of his mercies on Jacob. Of the two kingdoms, the kingdom of the Yahweh and the kingdom Babylon, Yahweh will destroy the latter and save the former forever. For Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob and Israel and set them in their own land, Palestine. Heaven could not be their own land yet, for the Jacob and Israel have never been there. Moreover, if this were speaking of the period on the other side of the millennium, it could not speak only of the house of Jacob, for that would exclude Abraham and all the righteous who lived before him. And what strangers could be joined unto the house of Jacob after the millennium? Now, it is clearly evident from all these facts, therefore, that this verse applies before the millennium, before the close of the probation, that would be here in the 12th parabolic hour, and that the strangers that are to join the house of Jacob could be only the Gentiles, which will constitutes the great multitude of Revelation 7, 9, and Isaiah 66 granted. Isaiah 14, 2. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahshua for servant, and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. This verse hardly needs explanation, for it plainly tells us that those who will then be taken as captives will be with the rulership of those over whom they were formerly ruled. Who they formerly ruled. I use the word under. Let's read that all again. For this verse hardly needs explanation, for it plainly tells us that those who will then be taken as captives will be under the rulership of those over whom they formerly ruled. Isaiah 14, 3 and 4. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahshua shall give the rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. In the day that Jacob's bondage under the Gentiles is ended, in the day that strangers have joined themselves unto Jacob, in that day Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14:5-20. For the Asher has broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in the anger, is persecuted and none hindered, for the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yes, the fir tree rejoiced at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no filler is come up against it. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nation. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? For thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worm cover thee. How art thou fallen from the heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If thou shalt be brought down to hell, unto the sides of the pit, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee sin. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that spread not the that opened not the house of his prison? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under under the feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. For the antithetical king of Babylon is called Lucifer, because Babylon is an institution of the devil. Isaiah 14:21. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise and possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. This brings in verse 10. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11.